I mean, man, I just remember a couple years ago, hardly, you know, pastor's kids were the only teens here. Now we're getting teens in here. I mean, I love it, man. It's a great thing. Not saying the little ones are being left out. They won't be left out. Just right now, who knows? One of them might get saved and might be the next leader of the Black Creek Baptist Church. I mean, we don't know that. We got to start training young people up, and I'm talking young people all the way through teens. You know, start getting them in here like David. Huh? If he only knew his potential, man. God's got something for him, yeah. God's got something for you guys. It's a good thing, man, that God has something for you. I can testify to that all day long. I was telling my wife last night, I said, gosh, you know, it's not an issue for us to get ready to come to church and you don't want to be sitting here in the pew. Man, this is something I enjoy. Nobody forces me to come here. I love seeing, you know, Tim McVeigh. Look at how good I look as he comes in and gets up. I mean, come on, man. Don't get no better than that. I mean, half the church is getting stuff. We all look good, you know. Let's do it. But it's good, man. I mean, it's good to be here. It was a good day. Again, I'm in Proverbs 14. This is something the Lord gave me. I've been a couple weeks on this. And it's only out of a few verses out of Proverbs 13, but it's powerful. Powerful. Let's see. If I can, yes, I have notes. Sometimes I'm not old, but my mind's getting old. Proverbs 14, 9 through 17. That's where all this is from. Just those few verses. But boy, it's powerful. And we're going to be in Proverbs 14. We're going to start in verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I just got a question for everybody sitting in here that is not a saved person. How are your ways? How's it doing for you? How's your life going? Are you having a good time with it? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to get any better. You see, we think as men and women, and women are included in this too, we think that we know the way. We have the way. We have the answers. Well, just look at your life. Go ahead and turn around and look at your life and tell me, do you have the answers? How's your way doing for you? There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There doesn't always have to be physical death. Spiritually, I was dead as they come. I mean, really, I was just as dead as they come. I got into Satanism and all that crazy stuff growing up. I used to read the Necronomicon, go to the graveyards, and just do all kinds of crazy stuff. So spiritually, I was dead as they come. And after I knew the way. Let me just say this. That life got me worse and worse and worse in trouble. You know where I picked it up? I didn't pick that up from the streets. You know where I picked it up? My first jail bit ever. I got Satanism. It's funny. From some white guys who call themselves the Brotherhood. That was the very first gang I was ever in. And I was buried deep into it. They knew me, I knew them, we stuck together. That was all there was to it. But they were in a Satanism bad. You know what they used to do though? Carry around a Bible. That's what they preached. They preached the Bible but lived Satanism. I kid you not. I know Aryan Brotherhood down in Florida. I mean, I'll tell you, the most nastiest Aryan Brotherhood people that I ever met were in the state of Vermont. In prison. I'm talking these boys, they got black people hanging off their neck on trees, tattooed. I'm talking, these dudes are bad to the bone. They don't care. Now, anybody who's ever been locked up knows that they're not big in number. But they're some of the most feared guys ever in prison. They'll kill a white person just as well as a black, an Aryan. It doesn't matter what you are. But what did that way do for me? What did it ever get me? It got me nowhere. There's a way that we think that we know. We have the answers for everything we do. I'm just going to tell you teens right now, all you young people, you can be 19, younger, whatever, how old you are, you don't have the way. You don't have the way. The way you think that you're going is not the way you should be going. It's not all hunky-dory. You live at home, you may have a job here and there, but I'm just going to tell you now, you keep going the way you're going, it's going to get worse. It will not get better without Jesus Christ, I promise you that. And there's a whole church load of people in here that will tell you the same thing. I'm not the only one that is standing up here and testifying the hurt and the pain and the agony that I put myself through because I thought I knew the way. You don't know the way. Let us sit here and tell you the way. We may not be perfect at it, but I tell you what, that Bible is. Brother McVeigh was talking about that perfection. I know I can never be perfect out here on earth, but why not try? Why not try? What is it hurting anybody me doing that? Matter of fact, it's saving a couple faces. It's saving a couple broken lives, a couple broken bones on people. For the first time in my life, and I mean the first time in my life, I called the cops on somebody last week. That may sound funny to you guys. Like that's just no. I was never a cop caller.
Right, brother. Right.
I handle things my way.
Yeah.
I called the cops. You know what? God gave me the victory in that.
Good.
I just, because what I want my kids to know? That I don't have a problem with the cops, even though I used to. That's a hard. You know what? That's a hard thing for somebody like me to say. But I, you know who I pray for every day? You look at my prayer list. I guarantee it. All the EMTs, emergency people, policemen, state troopers, all of them are on my prayer list every day. And when I see them, ask my wife, I thank them. Matter of fact, me and Luke, the last time we were coming up the street, I was coming up 305 fast. I was speeding. I got pulled over. And afterwards, I told the cop, after he gave me my ticket, I said, thank you for doing your job. So I told him. I don't have the way. I don't know the way. The way is not, without Jesus Christ, it is not the way. Stop thinking you have the way. You don't know the way unless you get into the Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. Let's go on. John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. We find out that people do try other ways. And see, we see what happens. Listen, when you're trying to get to Jesus any other way, besides the way he says to go, and that's through him, you're going to have absolutely, you're going to run into a dead end every single time. An absolute 100% dead end. I mean, here we are, we're in Black Creek. I never even heard of Black Creek until I came out here. We have Black Creek Baptist Church, people, where preachers preach to us, love us, strive with us. I mean, you just think about what we have here in this church. And then go and look at other big city churches and not even close to what we have. Not even close to what we have here. There's family here. Why? Because of what we've done? No, because what the work of the Lord is doing. I mean, I remember when me and my wife first sat on this bench here. Autumn was, she was just born, I think, just a baby. And I thought, gosh, this is never going to work. I walked in here, I heard Pastor preach, and I always liked somebody. Even as a lost person, I loved the King James Bible even when I was lost. There was something, I had people in my life always told me the King James Bible was it, and I believed it. But I didn't believe what God had to say in there about me. And when I came here in this pew, and I see, you know, Pastor John, and him preaching and his style, I mean, I was amazed. I like that kind of stuff. Because, Amy, for years and years, I read the Bible. I studied the Bible. When I came home from prison, I knew the Bible from commentaries. That's how I knew the Bible. I'll kid you not. I know it from commentaries. I did my own study in the Bible, but nothing like Pastor preached, or nothing like Pastor taught. One of the best studies that I do now is take a word and just study that word.
Amen.
And I love it over and over again. We did diligence this morning. That word diligence in the Bible. Read, go home and study the word diligence and tell me the blessing you don't get out of it. I'm telling you, it's there for a reason. The Bible's here not for you just to look at or use it to hold the door open when you're trying to get air, to collect dust. This thing's here for you to read, to study. There's reasons why God wants you in this book. There's a love in this book that you'll never know until you get into it. There's a love in this book. I'm telling you, you'll fall in love with this book. You know what made me happy this morning? I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not bragging on me and my family. Watching my son, 9 years old, turn into the Bible on his own and find the verses on his own.
Amen.
He's able to turn to the books of the Bible on his own and find out where we are.
Amen.
That to me, that's victory to Jesus Christ who's given us a family that we're able to raise like that.
Amen.
Just victory, man. Not because of my way. Because me and my wife finally just say, Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, and that's the life we're going to choose, that's the life we're going to live, and that's the life I'm going to teach my children. Whether they do it or not, it's not on me, but God says raise them up in that way, and when they're older, they will. You know, I just have a belief in my heart that if I raise my children the way the Bible tells me to, that maybe one day, my son and my daughter are going to get saved. Maybe not at the age that I want them to. But God is not going to go back and turn his back on his own word. He says that, you know, train them up in the way that they weren't old, they won't depart. I believe that. You know what? If there's a hope for me, there's a hope for my children.
Amen.
And there's a hope for you parents in here, or grandparents, or uncles and aunts. Listen, there's hope for everybody that's sitting on these church pews today. There's nobody hopeless. You may feel like it. You may feel like you're in that pit, that ditch. You know why? Because you're in your own ways. Your own ways are the ways of destruction. Look at your life. Listen, you can't walk into this church and not people not see the destruction of your life. If you think you're hiding anything, you got another thing coming. Especially for those that the Lord cleaned up, has saved, cleaned up, and we're living the right way. We can tell it. There's no fool in here. There's nobody fooled in here by your lifestyle. But don't have to be that way. Don't have to stay that way. People say, oh, you know, you look good. This is the only one I have. I think it's getting pretty dingy and that. You know, otherwise I would wear them every Sunday. And I don't do it because of you. I tried dressing up like this before I got saved. And it fell apart on me pretty quick, didn't it? After I got saved, it wasn't immediately, but probably a few weeks after I got saved, the Lord said, Dale, it's time for you to start looking good. That's when I changed it. Not because the pastor never told me I had to change the way I dress. You know, what's his only rule for coming in here? At least you have underwear and a bra on. You gotta have at least that on to come in here. Okay? But I'm just saying, he doesn't preach on what you wear. You know why? And thank God he never did that to me and my wife. You know why? Because I'd be sitting here looking good going to hell. Huh? There's preachers out there. Oh, you have to dress this way. You got to do this. You got to do that. They're going to hell. They got all that legalism on their head instead of teaching them the Bible.
Right.
You know what that is? It's the ways of man.
Right.
What's it say the answer is here? The end thereof is the ways of death. I mean, there's churches out there. Baptist churches, they're sending people to hell today. They're giving all that garbage, filling their head with all that junk, and they're sending them to hell. And you know what? It doesn't bother them. Doesn't bother them. Brother said that, you know, they come up there, oh no, no, it's just the devil telling you you're not saved. Listen, leave that person alone. Thank God our pastor never did that to me.
Amen.
I'd be sitting in that pew, still lost, going to hell. Thank God he had the Holy Ghost deal with me.
Amen.
Thank God I got convicted on my own and he didn't have to come up and try to persuade me to say something. Remember that church we went to? We were looking for a church one time. We went to this church in Olean and they were rubbing Amy's neck and everything trying to make her say all this crazy stuff come out of her mouth. That's what churches are doing. Baptist churches are doing other people. Hey, let me rub your back and say this prayer, do this, and you'll be okay. You'll be saying, you're okay, don't worry. The doubts and all that, they're fine. No, man, they're not. There's a reason why the doubts are there. All the, you know, all of our emotions and depressions, God put them there for a reason. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're having doubts, man, deal with them doubts. Don't let nobody tell you you're not saved, you are saved. You go ahead and get that right with God. Don't listen to a man. God forbid, get in the Bible. If there's one thing that I know more than anything in this world, Ma, that I have a spirit that witnesses to my spirit. I'm a child of God. To me, that's joy. I get happy over hearing that. I get happy at work. I look at my wife and go, I just can't believe it. Like, well, I just can't believe I don't smoke anymore. And all. I just, you know, I get joyful like that too. Because I can't believe that I'm actually free. And I mean free.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Free. Freedom.
Lord.
Free. I walked out of prison. I did 5 years, my last bid. And I walked out, I thought I had freedom then. 2.5 years ago, I got saved. That was freedom. That was freedom. I mean, just unbelievable freedom. Ask Amy. I was preaching to the walls in there. I was ready to run out the door. I mean, I was doing backflips. I told Pastor, I said, I'm going out to preach right now. I was just so excited that I finally got saved. It happened for me. God, I didn't think God wanted to do it for me. He couldn't do it for somebody like me, and He did it for me. 6 months later, my wife got saved.
Amen.
In a bedroom by herself with nobody coaxing her to do anything.
Amen.
She just said, what do I do? What do I do? I said, just go in your room, shut your door, and we come out when you're saved. You know what she did? And nothing that I did. All the works of the Holy Ghost. Not somebody telling her she's lost or saved. Don't let nobody tell you that. That's the ways of man. They're death. Death. Thank God we have men that are understanding that and that are teaching us that. Now we don't have to go out there and listen to this poison anymore. Josh, the Lord will deal with you when He's ready. He'll let you know when you're saved or if you're lost. Don't ever fight it. Don't ever fight it. He'll let you know. Let's see what those people. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 7. Let's see what these people who are going their own way. We'll see what they get. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen to me. This Christianity thing, this saved person thing, is not going to follow the ways of the world. If you follow the ways of the world, you got the wrong Jesus. Okay? You need to get the Jesus that turns away from the world. I'm not talking turning our back on people who aren't saved. But there's got to be a difference in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Why do you think that's in the Bible? Where are the new things from these new Christians? Where are the new things from these supposed Christian people who got saved but stay the same and live for the world? Is this Bible just a joke? Is it these words mean nothing to anybody? If you're going the way of the world, you're having problems. Here's two things. One, either you're lost and never got saved. Or two, you've turned your back on God, you need to get back on track. But that, you know, that's a big excuse now. Here's the excuse. Yeah, I got saved 40 years ago. I wanted to live for the world. Now I'm ready to go ahead and give my life to Christ. Really? This is my problem with that is. I believe Jesus Christ saved me. I'm going to heaven forever, eternity. But I know that if I turn my back on the Lord and I don't even think I get a year down the road and He'd take me out.
Amen.
All this living 40 years for, I got saved and then for 40 years I lived a life of hell and now I'm ready to dedicate my life to the Lord? I don't believe in that garbage.
That's right.
It is God. That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Go ahead and just repeat that to yourself. You are a new person. New things come into your life. Behold. Look it. It says look. Behold, look at it.
Yes.
Listen, this ain't, go ahead and get mad at all you want. Just get mad at God because this is His word, not mine. If this was my word, if I was the one writing this kind of stuff, I'd tell you were okay. I'd want you to follow me. I'd want you just to go ahead and do everything I do. God forbid. Take your eyes off of me and put it on the Bible. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on men who know something. I don't know things yet. I'm learning. Do I mind learning? No. I like the way things I'm learning, okay? I'm closer now to God than I have ever been in my entire life, and I'm not complaining about it. I have hard times. They're difficult. But you know what? You know whose way it is? Let me read verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. There's not much room for us to make errors when you're with God. There's not much room for us to go and do what we want to do when we're on that narrow path. You understand? That's why He made it narrow. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. You know, everybody thinks, oh, God's just trying to punish us and take away all our fun. He's protecting you.
Amen.
He's protecting you. He's protecting the little ones that you have there with you. He's protecting your neighbor, your neighbor's wife. We all know what goes on. He's protecting us. Let's see. We're going to go to John 10. We're almost done. I'm going to read this last one. I think we'll get pretty much through it. John 10. I'm like Pastor Haynes sometimes. I do keep repeating the verses myself. But if I don't, I will forget. John 10. New Bible. The pages stick. I love my new Bible, just to let everybody know. I get excited over a new Bible. I was telling Brother McVeigh, I opened it up and bam, I could see again. It was great. You know, the words are easy to read. It's just an easy reading Bible. I mean, it's great. John 10, 1 through 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, is a thief and a robber. I'm just going to tell you this today. The King James Bible here is telling you, just in that one passage, if you're trying to get in to heaven, or if you're trying to get in to be with Jesus any other way besides him, you're a thief and a robber. It's the wrong way. You've chosen the wrong one. You've got the wrong. Listen, you got to turn around. You got to find it. You're not on the right path. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. You want proof of salvation? How much of Jesus' voice are you hearing? How much of the Spirit of God is driving you? How much is leading your life? How much are you into the Word of God? You can't tell me you're a safe person and not get into the Word. You can't tell me you love the Lord Jesus Christ and not obey His commandments.
Right.
Where are you going to find His commandments? In the Word.
Right.
So just keep setting the Word aside. That's okay. No, it's not okay. How are you going to know His voice? Learn. Amy, when I first met you, I didn't love my wife right away. I had to spend time with her. I had to get to know her. The more time I spent with her, the more I thought, man, maybe I just love her. The more we got together, the more I realized I'm in love with her. So you got Jesus Christ who goes on the cross and dies for you. Dies, gave his life for you, that you might live. And you don't want to spend time with him, but yet you're a saved person? Listen, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't register in my pea brain. I know if I love somebody, I'm going to want to spend time with them, especially somebody who laid down their life for moi. I was not worth laying my life down for anybody. I would never expect anybody in this world or out of this world to ever lay their life down for Dale Morgan, let alone God. But he did. Why would I not want to spend time with him? Why would I want to grow in love with him? You know what one of my prayers are? Please give me that unshakable faith and love in you, Jesus, and nothing else. That's my prayer. I want to know him. I mean, Pastor said, you know, one day it might come to where we might be in concentration camps and all. You know what? I want to be in love with Jesus in that concentration camp.
Amen.
I want to be able to take this Bible and know what it says, carry it around in my heart, and give it to somebody else and let them know what that's going to be. I have a love in my heart. I have a love in my heart that's not worldly. The love I have in my heart did not come from this world. It's not of this world. It's a love. You know, the Bible says that peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain to you what that means. Why? Because I don't understand it. But I have a peace that's second to none in my heart and my life. I mean, I just have that. I go to sleep at night with a clear conscience. My conscience does not bother me. Why? Is it because it's seared? No, it's because it's healed.
Amen.
When I do something wrong now, I actually get convicted. It bothers me. Is that a bad thing? No, God made that for you. He put that in you so you would know. Now, years and years ago, my mom could testify in a seared conscience. Man. I could just do anything. I told Amy, I said, now, you guys all have kids. You know, those of you who have kids in here, just imagine, just turning your back on your two kids and walking away from them. Just go ahead. Leave them. Go ahead, Tanya, get up and just leave your kids right here. You're not going to walk. You're not going to look at them ever again. That's what I did to my kids. It didn't even bother me to do that to my kids. They sat in the windows looking at me, leaving, crying. You know, I got so bad that my mother had to take the girl that I was with and send him to another state because I was going to kill him. This thing is not a joke. I don't know the ways. When I was an unsaved person, the unsaved people, we don't have the way. You guys don't have the way. The way is Jesus Christ. Your ways are going to be death. And I'm talking more death. I'm talking more death than just physical death. I'm talking spiritual death. That's the most important. That's the death you should really be worried about.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you now, there's a love, there's a life out there that, I mean, that Jesus wants to give you. Most of you guys sit here week after week, hearing the men of God get up here and just preach on Jesus, His love. I mean, the truth behind it all. I mean, Pastor gives us so much stuff out of listen, you don't have to prove this Bible to nobody. If you just sit here and listen, and the stuff that comes out of it, the stuff that tells you about who you are and what you really are, there's no proving. It's done. God already made sure it was going to be done. A human being is not going to write this about themselves. That's why most people avoid the Bible. And I don't call NIVs and all that the Bible. That's the devil's stuff. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. How they call that other thing a Bible, I don't understand how they get away with even putting a Bible on the front of that. It's almost an insult. But you know what that's doing? The devil said, I'll be like the Most High God. We have the Word of God. The devil's got his versions too. And he's bringing people to hell with him. He's bringing people to hell with him. Because everything this Bible tells us about ourselves, those other versions are corrupting them. They're making them so that people don't believe them. Listen, we don't have the way. There's only one way. His name is Jesus Christ. The ways of man is death.